should always be fun. Should make you happy.
What's going on, guys? You are now listening to the Lean Dad Podcast for dads who want to lose weight and become a healthy role model for their kids. I'm your host, Patrick Ryan. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be here. Now, let's dive in, my friends. This is episode number one of my Client Spotlight series. And in this episode, or these series of episodes, I will be spending time with current and previous clients and chatting with them about what their experience was like in working with me, but primarily sharing their perspective as to what their weight loss journey looked like in the hopes that it resonates with you, inspires you, and motivates you to move forward, and most importantly, not give up as you continue moving forward. We will be chatting with my friend and online client, Marlon, as he is now making his way into his second year of working with me, and just chatting about how his weight loss journey has changed and evolved over time. So let's hop in and give it a roll, my friends. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Lean Dad Podcast. So with this episode, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently, but this is the first of many, and this is something I've been very excited in taking part in and starting to create in putting up a series of client spotlight episodes. So for those clients of mine that are cool with it, that are open with sharing their experience in working with me and just us collaborating with one another as a team, I just thought it'd be a lot of fun just to provide a little bit deeper context as to each of my clients' individual journeys. And if they're, you know, just in the hopes that it would help provide a little bit of a better understanding and the opportunity for other people to kind of relate and resonate with common issues that some of my clients have been facing, in the hopes that it helps anybody listening. So with that being said, in this first episode of the Client Spotlight, I've got my good friend Marlon on, who I think people have heard me reference from time to time in previous podcasts, stuff of that sort. So welcome, dude. Happy to have you on.
Hey, thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So, it's really, really great to have you on as the first. Honestly, it's been really cool. And the reason I say that is you and I have been working together for quite a while now. We're obviously in our second year of working with one another. And what I thought would be a lot of fun in regards to this episode and those that take the time to listen is just I can only run my mouth so long and so much when it comes to the basic, some of the concepts that I teach and that I try to help my clients through. And I just feel like it would be really cool to just add another dimension of perspective from that of the client's perspective. And we can kind of just kind of riff around how things have been going, what your experience is like from, say, how year one went to compared to now that we're in year two, because I think a lot of people have these preconceived ideas as to what starting with a coach should look like, and that it's always weight loss centered the entire time, when in fact, sure, part of it can be that, but you and I are undergoing a constant evolutionary process in your journey to where we're not just focusing on weight loss all the time. So if anything, I'd love to, as well as many of those listening, I think would love to hear just kind of from day one or year one to present day, what your experience was like, what your intentions were behind it, and just kind of going from there, man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think when I met you, and I guess when we were introduced through my partner, I kind of went through, like, you know, those usual things that you always go through whenever kind of scoping out anything, it seems, fitness or health related, right? We always kind of treat our bodies almost secondarily in this life, whereas, like, this is your life vehicle and you should be treating it as the primary, you know what I mean? And so So we met, right? And I was kind of going through that, like, whole, I don't know, like, can I afford it? Can I not? Whatever it was. And I was just like, you know what? Like, I fell into that mindset where it was just like, this is my life vehicle. And I had come from kind of a background already of losing weight. And so this was kind of like the next leg of a journey. This was like getting and maintaining fitness again. So really a lot of the motivation behind it was just like, I want to maintain the fitness that I have. I want to be a better athlete, and I want to be a better role model to my kids. Because I know, like, my view of like how my view of food and exercise and things like that was as a kid. And I didn't want my kids to fall into that same mentality. The first year was huge, right? Like the first year, I feel like we knocked out a lot of weight loss, right? It was primarily like focused on what I was eating, what kind of movements I was doing. I did a lot of running that first year. And then kind of halfway into, or I think it was even sooner, maybe like a quarter of the year into our second year, I got injured, right? And we had to kind of shift our mindset to be like, what are we going to do to maintain the fitness? What are we going to do to keep motivated and engaged? And kind of what you were saying about it not always being about the body, even though I think that even though the majority of our time spent together has been like defining my body, right? But more than that, it's been defining my emotional state, my mental state, and how I view my body, mm-hmm. rather than like how it just looks, right? Because like there, you can be, I don't know, fucking thick AF, you know what I mean, and still have a good body, you know,
right?
And still be fit. So, so that's been a part of the journey too, and just learning how to love where I'm at in this stage, knowing that I am fit, and knowing that I'm in this recovery mindset and this mindset of getting my body back to where it needs to be. And it's good because like my body feels it, like I feel hungry for it. And it's been really motivational.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. So let's help everybody. Let's provide a little bit of context for everybody listening, because obviously they're not working hand in hand like you and I are with one another. So just to provide some kind of some contextual like evolution to your process. So in year one, obviously it was more weight loss focused, right? So remind us in that first year, given that it was more weight loss oriented, which I think for a lot of people, that's the starting point. Around how much weight did you lose in that first year?
I think I started the program at around, I want to say, I have, for some reason, the number 233 is sticking really hard in my head. Mm-hmm. So I think I was like right at around 233 when we started, and I finished at 192. So yeah, right around what, 40 pounds,
right.
41 pounds. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So, go ahead. Keep doing
it. Yeah. More than that, it was just, and I've been that, I've been at that weight before. But the last time I was at that weight, I was super unhealthy. I looked freaking gaunt, dude. Like it was, I just looked like a bone hide, you know what I mean? Like, and then, this time around, I felt like I looked good. I had, you know, the definition, like I felt good about my body. My body was moving right. So, yeah.
Right. So no, and I appreciate you sharing that, because what a lot of people, and this is what's been so fun in being able to collaborate with you in your journey, is understandably so. Okay, year one, cool, weight loss focused. And that's what we were able to focus our attention and energy on. And this is something that I try to advocate not only to people that are working with me, but just people that are trying to work on their journey themselves or on their own, is that I always say it, there are going to be an infinite number of, I call them in-game adjustments along the way. From day one to day two, day week to day five to year two, whatever, adjustments are always going to need to be made. And I feel like a lot of people go into this with this kind of arbitrary timeline of or sequence of events that they think need to happen in order for things to work out well. And then when those kind of timeline items aren't met exactly as they thought they needed to be met, that's where people say, screw it, I'm going to pull the plug. I'm jumping ship. I'm going to quit. And this is what's been so really cool and fascinating about your experience, and that a substantial amount of in-game adjustments have had to have been made, you know, primarily in from transitioning and growing from year one to year two, where much like you said, you had sustained an injury, and that prompted us to make some substantial changes around things to where, and I think this is where a lot of people get really caught up, and I almost feel like it can perpetuate a lot of confusion because they feel like a weight loss journey is always a weight loss journey in the sense that they always need to be losing weight, and their behaviors and their mindset has to be tied towards losing weight all the time, where that's just not how it's going to work. You know, you do have a weight loss goal, but it's important to keep in mind and kind of keep a proactive mindset of, well, when you lose the weight, what's the game plan then? And that's where your dynamic and your journey has been really fascinating. And it's been really fun to work within that framework of identifying, cool, we lost the weight, we're down, but circumstances changed quite a bit when it came to sustaining the injury, which meant we really couldn't impose the same criteria, primarily when it came to movement as well as eating. We couldn't impose that same criteria onto this new set of circumstances, if that makes sense. So, you know, in providing a little bit deeper context, and that your journey has been far, and I think I say this as it being a good thing, your journey has been far from perfect. You know what I mean? Like it hasn't been a walk in the park. You've got kids, you've got a life, you've got a job. You too went through a global pandemic. You know what I mean? That, and trying to maintain your health at the same time. Especially in the second year where it was a lot of kind of redefining the journey given your set of circumstances. What would you say are some of the biggest takeaways that you've had in, especially coming from, or for a lot of people going into things thinking that, okay, I need to be exercising all the time in order to maintain my weight loss or doing X, Y, and Z, where that may not always be the case.
Yeah. Gosh, my biggest takeaways from this past year have really been, number one, learn how to be forgiving to your body, you know? And that's a really generalized for a reason. I've always had a really hard time taking the time to stop and rest. And so this has been one of those things where I've had to, like, there's just been no choice. I've had to stop and rest. And I wish I would have done it sooner. You know what I mean? 'Cause if I had, the injury wouldn't have been so bad. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have had to go into surgical procedures probably to correct the injury. So yeah, learn how to forgive yourself. Learn how to be patient with yourself and your body. Know that your growth is not always going to be that uphill climb, right? Because without failure, you're not going to learn anything about your body either.
Right.
And so that's the second point, right? Learn from your failure. And don't take it as failure as much as you take it as feedback. Your body is telling you something. Your mind and your body are a team and you work together. You know what I mean? Listen to the feedback that your body's giving you. You know what I mean? Are you, whatever it is, have you had a BM in a few days? You know what I mean? Are you moving right? How do your feet feel? I always know that, like, you know, I don't need to have a beer. If my feet or my knees are feeling weird, it's like, yeah, I probably don't need to have a beer today. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not a great plan. So yeah, listening to, being patient, listening to your body's feedback, or learning from your failure and being happy with your body, you know what I mean? Just being happy and truly thankful for it. This past year has been rough because it's been, in a lot of ways, the most frustrated I've ever been in my entire life. Because at least when I was not fit, I was empowered to get fit. You know what I mean? Now I felt like I was fit and trapped because I couldn't move. So it was super frustrating. So getting up every morning and doing this last one, I think, was the hardest for me, is just being thankful for my body. You know what I mean? Looking at my body in the mirror and just showing it gratitude. Thank you for bringing me to this point. You know what I mean? And then going back and listening to that feedback. What can I do to make every point beyond this better for you? You know what I mean? What can I do to treat myself better? So, yeah.
I like that, man. Because I feel like it ties to a very prevalent theme that you and I have obviously talked about it, but I've continued to try to share with people around, if you're not summoning some semblance and some amount of gratitude for what you currently have, regardless of whether you're overweight or you're right where you want to be, if you're not summoning a practice of being grateful for the body that you have currently, you're almost perpetuating this insatiable dynamic of, okay, I'm only going to give myself permission to be happy and be grateful for my body when I'm 193 pounds, which in theory, it may sound like it would work, but when you really take the time to think about it, say it takes you a year or so to get to that weight. Well, if you've been if you've been working through a practice of beating yourself up and working from a place of lack, or more of kind of a scarcity mindset of not being happy where you're at that entire time and pursuing that, say, 190, 180, 170 pound, you know, goal. Well, when you get to that weight loss goal, it's not going to be much of a surprise in you not being happy with where you're at. Because right. you've only been practicing that habit throughout the entire time, as opposed to reframing, which I see that you're tying to, is just reframing that experience of, I've got to be proud of where I'm at with each passing day. And it just continues to make me think about your journey, and that it was especially in year two with the injury, it was a lot of reframing. And it was, if we're not able to move as much as we would want, then we've got to redirect our focus to other areas that we can control. And, you know, it's resulted in you being able to maintain your weight loss, as opposed to dealing with, I think, what a lot of guys deal with, and I don't think pay a lot of attention to, is an injury will come around and weight will be regained at an exponential rate, and kind of reframing progress through the lens of, well, I've made a lot of progress up until this point. Yes, I got injured, but now progress needs to be defined in actually not regaining weight, or not regaining as much weight during however long of a period of time it's going to take to come back from this injury.
Right. Yeah. And I think too, like, just realizing that obstacles are always going to be in your way, because once you reach your goal, right, you were saying, like, you reach your goal and you've really, like, idealized that number in your mind for so long. Right. And then what happens when you get there and you haven't been thankful every step of the way? Well, I mean, every ounce that you gain or lose it feels like failure again. You know what I mean? Like, well, am I too light now? Like, I mean, am I too, you know what I mean? Like, you'll bounce back and forth, and that's no good. And yeah, just being thankful for where you're at, and knowing that those hurdles do come. Those hurdles are always going to come. So, like, what do you got to do to maintain? And, you know, I'm not like where I want to be right now, but I'm happy with my body. Like, I'm happy with where it's gotten me. I'm happy that I've worked through an injury and I feel great, and I'm moving every single day right now, you know?
Right.
So yeah, that's the important thing.
Absolutely. Well, and it's like, I'm getting this sense of where can you pull from to create that compounding interest, right? of progress almost. You're talking about, you know, you're now in a place where you're able to move every single day, and that's something that you can put in your kind of well-being bank account. Like, cool, I'm gonna chalk this up as a win. I was able to move a little bit each and every day. And I even think about during the time when you were injured, we had to reframe what that payment was to that bank account, whether it was like, okay, maybe you were able to do a little bit of movement or do a little bit of stretching or stay more in tune with what you were eating or how you were eating. It's looking at it through a very multidimensional set of lenses that we've got to be relentless kind of in our pursuit of the finding the silver lining, so to speak, to continue to keep us moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And there's always something good to look at. You know what I mean? You mentioned reframing the way you eat. And I remember coming back to eating slow again. And there was truly was not a whole lot that I was able to eat whenever I was going through the injury because of the medications and things like that. But like even finding those things that I could eat, eating them slowly and enjoying them again, you know what I mean? Those types of things were game changers. A lot of these things too roll back to like the mentality that you have the entire time, you know? And I think that like really 90% of our checkpoint calls and things like that have been about like more about like the mental state of things and things like that. Like, how are you doing? How are you reframing this so that you can accommodate it within your schedule? What's your mind game like? What's your mental game like? So it was good, you know, and I think that needs to be there. That needs to be at the forefront, because if you don't get past your mind, your body's not going anywhere, really.
Exactly. You couldn't have put it better, because I think what gets people in the door is the physical aspect of their journey. And that's fine. That's something that they can see. It's pretty apparent. But as you start continuing down this path of trying to make it towards your goal, if you're constantly focusing on the physical aspect, it's going to burn out. It's inevitable. So taking the time to go through that inventory of, okay, what's my mental state like? How am I perceiving these hurdles? How am I perceiving these challenges is gonna make all the difference in the world. Because yeah, if we were to spend the vast majority of our checkpoint calls with one another with me just hounding you over how many reps of what movement did you do, how many, you know, how many times did you eat out this week, it's not going to do you much good in the long term, because you're going to be navigating your life by yourself and with your family outside, you know, without me being there right with you. And it seems like it would make more sense to take time to focus our energy around how we're perceiving what you're going through the 23 and a half hours of the day that we're not with one another.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's been the thing, right? And I think the part where you've challenged me is where I do run into things like that. That was a good, for instance, I don't think it's ever happened with us, but like eating out, right? Like, instead of being slapping me on the wrist and being like, bro, don't eat out, what are you doing? You'd be like, all right, cool. So are you being mindful about what you're eating when you're sitting down? Like, what are you eating? How are you feeling after you eat those meals? Things like that. I always appreciated questions like that, because it was never like, you know, naughty, naughty, you know? And I think that that's what a lot of people appreciate about you and this program in general, and following you on the different social media platforms and things like that, is we see you being real, right? Like, you're out there at Rude Boys,
right?
Cookies, you know what I mean? I mean, we've gone over time on our client calls talking about cookies and burgers, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So it's just what it is. And people see you being real, and it's like, I think that a lot of people aren't used to weight loss looking like that. You know what I mean? People aren't used to fitness looking like that, but that is like, yeah, dude, eat a cookie. It makes you feel good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think about the familial component of it as well. Like, as a coach, I would be doing you a major disservice if I were to tell you, okay, well, your kids like eating at this particular restaurant, or your kids like eating this particular food, or your partner likes, you know where I'm coming from, and completely blowing off the opportunity to connect deeper with your friends, your family, anybody over food, whether that food is not as healthy or is more healthy. And I would be a huge hypocrite if I were to tell you, yeah, don't eat those foods. Those are bad. That's not my role in your journey. My role is to help you navigate that space in a more mindful, connected fashion, because there's an emotional and a mental and a spiritual component that's being fostered, in my opinion, if we choose to tune into it. Those are being fostered through instances of eating out and sharing less than healthy meals, because we're not going to just connect on a deeper level all the time over chicken, broccoli, and rice. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, well, cool, man. Well, if you're open to it, I'd love to have you on future episodes, because I think many people would appreciate your perspective. But definitely appreciate having you on for this first ever client spotlight, man.
Yeah, man, for sure. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Marlon, for hopping on. We greatly appreciate it. But for any of you dads out there that are looking for some insight and perspective, I think this episode could be just laughably helpful, just in that there are other guys out there that have families, that have jobs, that have lives, that are navigating their health in a different way, that's just not rooted in grinding out heavy reps all the time and restricting their eating to the point to where they can't share quality meals with their family. So thanks again for being on, man. I appreciate it.
For sure, man. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Once again, thank you so much for carving out the time to hear what was shared on today's podcast. Now, if what you heard today resonates with you and you'd like to continue the conversation, then I'd be happy to personally invite you to join our private Facebook community with countless other dads like yourself who are on this journey with you. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/groups/leandadproject. Click the join button at the top of the page and you're good to go. Again, that's facebook.com/groups/leandadproject. And by the way, the link to the Facebook group is in the show notes too, so be sure to check that out. All right, my friends, that's it for today. In the meantime, love one another, take care of one another, and please, please, please be grateful for each other. Much love, my friends. Cheers.